This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day as we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here. Well, we're going to do another candidate interview today, talking to candidates from a number of races right now. We've been doing some with the race for governor, and Daniel Bethel joining us, a Marion County Commissioner. Thanks for being on this afternoon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
So if folks haven't heard our previous interview or haven't heard about you yet, kind of give people a little bit about your background and what you do.
Yeah, so I'm a fifth-generation Oregonian, and I'm now a two-term sitting Marion County Commissioner.
And kind of talk about your early years and other things you've done business-wise, et cetera.
Okay, so before I was a county commissioner, I ran a chamber of commerce. I've also served on the Salem-Keizer School Board. I'm a small business owner today, and before being a commissioner, I owned a different business for 12 years. I have experience in the state government when I was younger, and I think just in general, I'm an individual that looks for an opportunity to be a problem solver and a collaborator, and that seems to take my career journey to where we are today.
It seems like being a Marion County Commissioner, I mean, you're right there in Salem. Probably that office gives you quite the view of state government because you're literally just blocks away.
Yeah, I'm actually out my office window right now looking at the Department of Administrative Services, which was remodeled thanks to taxpayers, and it's been empty for over 4 years. So I look at it in frustration on a regular basis. But the short session is in session right now, and so I have the opportunity to see all the activity around the Capitol because it's just about a block and a half down the road.
So what about the office of being governor? I mean, you've got a lot to do as a commissioner. Why seek that role?
Yeah, so I decided to run for governor because I think it's been far too long that we've had somebody in the highest leadership role in the state that actually knows how to run a government. My whole life, we've elected people into that office that have come out of the legislature. And fundamentally, the two jobs are very different. We could go into detail someday as to what a legislator does. But the truth is it's nothing the same as to what the governor does, which is running 87 state agencies in partnership with the people that the governor assigns as agency heads and is the champion of all things Oregon. I'm looking for a leader that's inspiring and understands the tedious details of state government and understands from a working perspective why we face challenges in our economy and in our housing, land use, homelessness, public safety, environmental issues, all things that I actively work on every single day as a county commissioner. My job today, representing 350,000 people in the fifth largest economy in the state, is essentially the same thing as the governor. My job is scalable, and I can kind of look up into that system and be frustrated by the poor policy choices that have been made by people in power for far too long, putting us in the various crises that we face every single day. And I have a vision on how to climb out of those spaces from, you know, real active work experience today.
Now, as a business owner, what led you to consider getting into any political role?
Yeah, so I actually ran for the school board in 2018 as a pissed off parent. I was really frustrated, never really considered the position as political, but it became very political thanks to COVID. And the first year, really half a year that I sat on the school board, I caught the attention, I guess, of different community leaders across Marion County who invited me to what I refer to as an ambush luncheon, where they asked me to run for county commissioner. And that was in 2020. And I declined. I wasn't interested in, you know, being in politics. But then I realized that counties have a lot of opportunity available to them to make system improvements. And I think pursue progress, planned progress is what I believe in. And so here I am 6 years later.
What have
doing
you,
that job.
What have you learned as a county commissioner just about how government operates?
Well, what I've learned is that we have a lot of systems and a lot of systems being designed and money being spent that's not creating any outcomes. We have a significant lack of transparency in state government in Oregon. We have a lot of lack of accountability as far as our resource systems. And, you know, it feels like every time the legislature convenes or every time we get a new governor, they come into their seat or they come into their session with these big, bold ideas on how they're going to fix the problems, and they try to legislate their ways out of it. And really what I believe to be true is that we need to have a governor that can look into every single department and ask why we have money sitting in a line item that's not moved for a decade. And, hold that accountable, return that money into the service system or give it back to taxpayers. We just don't have people who have spent their time, you know, turning the pages of government and asking questions like I have for the last 6 years, running for office right now besides myself. And I just really want to be able to perform the duties of good government, good functional government, accountable fiscal resources. You know, lowering taxes for people would be great, but at the end of the day, that's not the governor's responsibility. It's the governor's responsibility to efficiently run the government and transparently say to the legislature why we don't need certain things or why we do need certain things.
Now, you announced your run a ways back. How long did you kind of go back and forth and contemplate, should I jump into this?
I spent about a year navigating the decision shortly after the 2024 short legislative session. I was invited to a conversation with county commissioners from across the state to talk about how we as a team could be more influential in the legislature and the governor's office to produce real healthy outcomes for each of our counties, but also the system as a whole. And that occurred, I want to say it was probably early April of 2024. And during that conversation, it was floated to me that they would be interested in me considering running for governor. And, you know, it's one of those things that you laugh off at the moment, but then they keep talking about it and things keep presenting itself as far as different policy conversations. And so my family and I really started talking about it early summer of 24. And we made the final decision in January of 2025.
What would you say your main priorities are if you are elected governor?
So my main priorities will be to come into the office and really look at the way we're spending taxpayer dollars, creating an accountable system, a transparent system, with the goal in mind of reducing the burden on Oregonians for the constant threat of raising taxes. So the economy is the first. The second will be tackling the failing education system that we have here, not just K through 12, but also higher education. We have a lot of issues with workforce development and industry stabilization because we don't have a good comprehensive system of academics across all of those sectors. And the third thing will be behavioral health, which encompasses housing. So behavioral health is a system of care for mental health and addiction health that we spend billions of dollars on every single biennium, and really producing no real outcomes or permanency in our communities. That system needs to be really reviewed. We need to create real accountable programs that are working the local level. And all of that will be done through a lens of government working from the bottom up, not the top down, which is how it's designed today.
And when you look at state spending, what would you advocate for in terms of some of the maybe shifting of some of the priorities of where state dollars are used?
Oh, my gosh. Well, you know, one of the things that really bothers me is how the governor currently keeps coming in to her, you know, every single calendar year saying, I need more money and I need to push it into behavioral health. But then a year or so later, unable to produce any type of real outcome with real a narrative saying what they did. We have various different systems that have different funding sources attached to them. Some come from counties through property taxes, but a lot of the state resources come from the income tax system and, of course, the corporate activities tax, which, you know, the sales tax system that nobody wants to talk about. And we just really need to talk about prioritization. You know, the governor that we have today wants to focus on the climate. And while I think the climate and the environment is very important, there's ways to build a plan and create investments that are long-term sustainable without strapping the backs of every living person that exists in Oregon today. And I want to reevaluate how we're making system investments through real collaboration with local entities, municipalities, and counties, and creating a requirement of community-based partnerships so we can take a taxpayer dollar and stretch it as far as possible. And then, you know, make sure it's measurable and that it has an objective and that it has a real outcome. And that we can describe it and explain it to the average person who's paying for it as a taxpayer in Oregon.
What's your take on the whole situation involving the transportation funding package, the effort to get a measure on the ballot to repeal the gas tax and some elements of that, and whether it goes on the November or May ballot? That seems to be one of the big issues for the legislators right now. If you were in the governor's office, what would your take be?
Well, I would not be signing the bill to move it to the May ballot. I can tell you that. I participated in the signature collection of the tax referendum last year, and I personally described to lots of Oregonians who signed those petitions to look for this referendum on the November ballot. And the fact that the Democrats in office are doing this bait and switch, for whatever reason they want to describe, but President Wagner said it best, that it's politically motivated, is completely unacceptable to me. I think it's a bully tactic that they have the power of, and Oregonians need to pay attention to that, because they don't care about what we were promised or how we participated in that discussion. They are virtue signaling to us that they are more important and that they have the power over us, and they're going to use it no matter what. And because of that, I believe Oregonians should very fiercely unelect every single one of those Democrats this cycle.
How do you feel like your race for governor is going so far?
It has got great momentum. There's a lot of curiosity for me as a candidate across the state. It could be going better financially, but, you know, there's good candidates in this primary, and we're all looking at kind of the same standard donors on the business sector to fund our campaigns. For me, I'm used to living within tight margins, and so we're executing the plan on my campaign the same way. But I can use more donations and more support, so I hope people look into me and are incentivized to put in different kind of a leader in the governor's office this year.
When I looked early this morning, we've now got 21 people running for governor, 14 of them Republicans. Obviously, a lot of those are names that almost nobody knows, but why do you feel like it's such a crowded field?
Because I think people are just fed up. And there's such a diversity on the Republican side of the ticket. You know, we've got the far right, the middle right, the just right of center, you know, whatever they classify themselves as. And when you look down that spreadsheet, which I printed off too, and looked at each one of those individuals, they're all individuals who believe that Oregonians deserve something better than what we're being fed today through state government. And I think that each one of them that signed that dotted line saying that they want to be a leader in this state believes that they have something good to offer.
Do you feel like this many people running is going to be a disadvantage in the general election for whoever wins, because so much money, so much resources is going to be spent trying to get out of the primary, and hard to get a momentum when you have so many people running?
I think our biggest challenge in the general election is people looking back to 2022, recognizing that almost $100 million was spent in that general election. We're not going to see that kind of money this year for the November election. So budgets are going to have to be really diligent and specific on how they're going to execute their campaign plan. I don't personally believe that the primary per se is going to be a hindrance to resources for the general. It's pretty well known that people in Oregon are tired of the one-party rule. But we're going to have to do more than just get donations into our campaigns. We need to elect a candidate in May that can inspire voters to turn out in November. in 2022, on the Republican side, we had almost 200,000 registered Republicans not vote. And there's a various reasons that I have heard as to why folks chose not to vote. And we have to overcome that. We can't always have the perfect picture of a person because perfection doesn't exist. And no matter what happens come the primary in May, the Republican who wins needs to get and inspire the support of every voter in this state to show up and vote for them. And I think that's how we carry the win in November.
Of the 14 people running in the primary, there's really four of you that most observers would say are the main candidates. What do you feel sets you apart from your other three primary opponents, main primary opponents?
Yeah, well, first and foremost, I'm the only candidate that's ever run an effective government, like actually had to make hard budgetary choices and deliver services to Oregonians that are either vulnerable or you know, achieving their entrepreneurial dreams. I have the direct experience today to answer any question on its face with depth because I have that knowledge and experience. Additionally, being a fifth-generation Oregonian, I have an extensive history in this state, but the history of my life growing up is very different than the other three candidates that I'm competing against. I grew up in deep poverty, experienced homelessness, navigated the mental health and addiction system with my mom, and can talk about those systems and the system of oppression that I believe the Democrat body has created in Oregon for the last 25 years. I just have such a different and intimate knowledge of how the system works and how I can maneuver that system on day one that gives me an edge over the other three candidates.
And what does Oregon need to do differently overall in terms of how it's run?
I mean, it needs to reduce the amount of policy and just cut out the crap. I mean, at the end of the day, we have these people that come in and add a rule or add a law to try to fix a problem. And the truth is that we just keep getting deeper and deeper in words. And we need to roll a lot of that back. We need to reduce regulation. We need to be transparent with voters. And we need to ask people what they want as priorities. The governor's never once come out and said, here's my list of priorities on a non-ideological scale and had a conversation with individuals across this entire state. She's been very focused on her agenda and her ideology, and that is why we're failing, because she lacks partnership and collaboration and buy-in. And we as Oregonians deserve that, and me as a governor will deliver that.
From a block away in your vantage point now, what are your thoughts about what the legislature is doing in this short session?
Well, I think they're just doing more destruction to this state, and I don't think it ever should have happened. I was old enough to vote when Oregonians were asked if a short session was amenable to them to deal with budgetary gaps, and we are far from doing budgetary gaps in this short session. They're legislating severe policy around climate and gun control and abortion that should never be discussed in a 35-day legislative cycle. I think it's unfair. I think it's on purpose. And I'm sick and tired of having these people, a body of 90 individuals who choose, for the most part, not to participate in their communities and listen to their constituents, just force policy on us. The governor should have never allowed this to happen. We should never have had this session this year.
So if you end up as governor, how will you work with those 90 members of the legislature? What will your relationship be?
Well, I have the afforded opportunity of being a curious person, so I already have good, robust relationships with many of the people in the building. If I get my way and we unelect a lot of them, I'll have to work really hard to build relationships with the new people. But I believe good, effective leadership comes from a person who's curious about the person on the other side of the table from them. Understanding their origin and their intent as to why they're in their position matters to produce real conversations and collaboration for balanced outcome. Essentially, I'm going to do my work, and I'm going to understand those individuals, and I'm going to use the tools available to me as the governor to make sure that we are not being overrun by one set of ideology or bad policy, and make sure that we have a balanced approach to serve all 36 counties in Oregon, not just the top three.
Here we are in the middle of February. As your campaign evolves through the primary session, what are you hearing as you travel around the state?
I'm hearing that people are frustrated by the cost of being an Oregonian. People are frustrated by how difficult it is for the younger generation to be able to afford a home or get a good paying job. I'm also hearing concerns around election integrity, and the challenges that we face through the Secretary of State's office. It feels like every sector of government, there's something that a group of citizens in every region of the state can point a finger at. And by and large, there is a substantial distrust and disenfranchisement for the way this state is running and serving our citizens.
And a couple minutes left here on Inside Douglas County. What's ahead on your schedule in terms of getting around in the state?
Yeah, I'm excited for the next couple of months. I'm actually headed out tomorrow for a week to go to Washington, D.C. to lobby for national policy, rather, that's going to help impact some hard drugs in our community that need to be really scrutinized. But then when I come back, I'm going to be spending time on the South Coast, the southeast part of the state. So I'll be in Coos County, Curry County, Klamath County, Lake County, Jackson County, Josephine County, and then we head over and do Harney County, Baker County, Hood River County, Deschutes County, Jefferson County, and then later in, mid-April, we'll be in Washington County and Lane County. So we're going to be all over, and so far, I've already hit all of those counties and more in this last go-around, this last year. I've been very blessed to be able to have good, hard conversations with people who want to show up and really apply themselves to change.
All right, out of time for now. We'll check in again at some point soon. Daniel Bethel, Marion County Commissioner running for governor. Thanks for being on.
Thank you so much.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This has been Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.